Okay, we're going to get us a Kodesh, Perek Dalet Siman Dalet, page 1402. This is another in a series of tzedakah letters. And in each tzedakah, it's an amazing that there is absolutely no redundancy in any of these. There's over maybe a dozen or so of these letters. And from each one, the Alter Rebbe posits the importance of giving tzedakah in a different vein. So that it's a totally and completely different thing altogether. Okay? And the idea being that the Alter Rebbe wanted to convey is by the time you get through reading the letter, is you should want to support his causes. These are all fundraising letters after all. So it says, Ein Yisrael Negalon Elabit Tzedakah. It says, the Jewish people are only revealed with Tzedakah Shenemar Vishaveha Bit Tzedakah. As it says, and her captives with stucca. Now this is taken from this statement, Israel shall be redeemed only through tzedakah, is actually taken from Gemara Shabbos 139a. But if you look over there, it says, Ein Yerushalayim Nigalin. I think maybe you say Nivnin. No, Jerusalem is revealed. Is redeemed through tzedakah. So here the Alter Rebbe changes it to Yisrael. And I think it's repeated also in Masechta Sanhedrin, and it doesn't use the word Yisrael there either. And what about the first part of the pasuk? Vishaveha b'tzedakah is the last part of the pasuk. The first part of the pasuk is Tzion b'mishpat tipade vishaveha b'tzedakah. And he quotes this later on in a different verse, that Tzion will be redeemed in righteousness, and its captives with tzedakah. So the first thing before we, before anything else, it says that when it says Yerushalayim, when it says Yisrael, it's the same deal, because this letter is focusing on, we'll see this very very soon, the idea of Panimius Nekudas Halev, reaching in and to the very quintessential point of our Judaism. So as Yisrael, what is our quintessential point of our heart, our who we are, of our essence, is Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is a city, true, and with all the politics that's going on, that if Bibi Netanyahu would understand half of this letter, he would no way ever consider ever giving back any of it. And but the Yerushalayim, when we're talking in this context, is Yerushalayim. It means complete or perfect fear. And how is it that if it would be that people would have a perfect fear, Vishaveha b'tzedakah, then we would be redeemed immediately with righteousness. Okay? The first part of the pasuk, Tzion b'mishpat tipadeh. So we don't need the judgments. We got the judgments already. Okay, at this point, and especially now, the Rebbe said 20-something years ago, judgments are done. There's nothing else that needs to be judged. It's not just totally and completely up to Hashem. There's no reason that Hashem has not taken the Jewish people out of Galus, is what the Rebbe said. They must be, the Rebbe said, well, maybe if we do an act of kindness or goodness, the Rebbe came up and forenfered something, maybe. Rather than just keeping Hashem on the hook and saying, listen, God, you got no choice at this point. There's nothing else that needs to get done. Okay? And here we are 20 years later. It says, it is written in the Pasuk that righteousness before you will make you go. And it should have said will go. It should have said righteousness before you will go. But here's what's making you go. That the tzedakah, the tzedek over here, which is related to tzaddik, which is what we all basically have to become for get Mashiach to come, has to precede us. So now, keep that in mind. Because now we're going to go on a tangent. And the tangent lasts for two pages. Three pages. Okay. It says, there's a pasuk in chapter 27 of Tehillim. We say this Tehillim during Elul specifically.
Oh, no.
And one of the major reasons why we say this Kapitel Tehillim in Elul is because of this pasuk, which says to you, my heart says that you shall search my face, that your face should search my face. Okay? Now what is this? Is Hashem saying that this is the appropriate time, Elul, is an appropriate time to go looking for Hashem.
Hmm.
What part of Hashem? Panai. Which is going to relate to the word pnimius, meaning internal.
Mm-hmm.
So what makes it Elul such an appropriate time to go looking for Hashem is because Elul is a time for teshuva. And if a person is looking to return to Hashem in such an appropriate time, like during the preparatory month of Elul, so then you'd be looking for Hashem's face.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't learn any place yet. We haven't come across it anywhere. Not in the first part of Tanya, not in the Geras HaTshuva, that Tshuva is confined to a specific time or is better than any other time. When's the best time to do Tshuva?
Now.
Right now. Exactly.
Now.
Okay. So it's not written on the clock. You know, I'll keep doing what I'm doing until now. Oh, I'll wait to that time there. That's the best time.
Yeah, we'll hold off.
Okay. It's not like when you're getting gas and you know that if you go for two more miles up the road, you're going to get a gas station that's 5 cents cheaper.
Right.
Oh, I can make it to the what do you call it? Mm-hmm. Don't go there.
Yeah, don't go there.
Okay. So the searching for Hashem, Bakshu Pnimius Halev. That we have, what are we searching for? When we say it's searching for Hashem's heart, that we, it says, you know, Hachaker l'kai timsa, if you search for God, will you find him? It says, Kilo machshavosai machshavoseichem, my thoughts are not like your thoughts. Leis machshava tefisa be, no thought can grasp Hashem.
Hmm.
All these things. So what are we doing? Where are you going to go start? Where are you going to start the... Like with the candle looking for an honest man over here.
Mm.
What do you mean you look for Hashem? It says if you want to look for Hashem, so you can't go anywhere. You have to go in.
Yeah.
Okay? It says we know that there's something called outreach, when you go help somebody to go find Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
But there's time when you have to do inreach.
Mm.
You have to help yourself find Hashem. And where are you going to look when you're looking for Hashem? For yourself. If you're looking for somebody else, you tell them, hey, kuchsuk, hey, look here. Open up this Tanya, and you'll find Hashem.
Mm.
Okay? Study this, do this, do this mitzvah, do that, do the, you know, it's all go, go, go. Do something that you're not used to, not accustomed to.
Mm.
But when you're looking for yourself, you learn Tanya. You got it right here in front of you. You've been doing it, you do it every single day. You do chitas.
Mm.
Okay? And mitzvahs, you're doing mitzvahs the whole time. So what does it mean you have to look for Hashem? Because you still have to look for Hashem.
Mm.
You still have to have that, which it's talking about, that that the feeling of proximity to Hashem, we have to have all the time. And where is it that you're going to find that is only with inside yourself.
Mm.
You're not going to find it in the Tanya. The Tanya, at best, is going to tell you how to find it within yourself. So study Tanya. For the person who never opened up a Tanya, so it becomes lightning bolts.
Hmm.
Wow, this is incredible. You know, and it never ceases to amaze me that whenever I learn Tanya with certain types of people, the Tanya just molds to their needs. I have taught Tanya to medical health professionals. And Tanya became this wonderful piece of psychology.
Mm.
Okay, I've learned Tanya with businessmen. And Tanya has become this wonderful expression of ethics.
Business ethics, right.
Yes. I've learned Tanya with chiropractors. And a couple of chiropractors, we're learning Tanya, and suddenly they're relating everything with the spine, with the movements, with the hip, you know, with the flow, with the Seder Histalshalus down the spine and the spinal cord.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Tanya is like a chiropractor manual.
Uh-huh.
I'm now learning Tanya with a with a poster boy for recuperating alcoholics.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And Tanya for him has become the explanation of the 12 steps.
Right, the 12 step program. Right.
He says, exactly. This is incredible. Right. 200 years ago, the Alter Rebbe was writing about the 12 steps.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
So.
Way out of order, though.
Okay, fine. But, you know, and it's just an amazing thing that since it's so encompassing. So, what does the Alter Rebbe? The Alter Rebbe says in his introduction, I'm giving you the tools to find it within yourself.
Right. Right.
So what does that mean? Where are you supposed to look? Exactly. It's not over there somewhere.
Right.
When we say ki karav alecha, how karav are we talking about? You couldn't get much closer than inside yourself.
Yeah.
That's where it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's the pinimius that he's talking about. So if you want to see the inner countenance of Hashem, look inside.
Dig inside.
Kihine balahav yasir yisayt ha'esha aloki shebelev. So he says, with this flaming, fiery, godly flame that's in a person's heart. Hine balahav yisayt ha'esha aloki shebelev yesh beis b'chinas. And he throws in, there's another version over there, which basically kind of sort of says the same thing. There's two things in this inner part of our heart, this flame that we're supposed to have in our heart. Bechinas chetzenius and bechinas pnimius. There's the external part of the heart, and there's the internal part of the heart. The external part of the heart is easier to work with because that's external means revealed. Mm-hmm. About that, it says, since we're talking already Elul, so it says, Delmal Hashem es levavacha ve es lev zarecha. Hashem is going to circumcise the foreskin of your heart. Which means the coarse external aspect of your heart, which is not so sensitive to spirituality.
Mm.
So that's something that you can work with. That's something you can work on.
Mm.
So he says, what's the chitzanius of the heart? Hu hislavus hamis lahevis mebechinis chaviva vahadas v'gedelus Hashem ein zed baruch hu. That this is an excitement, an inflamed, which comes from understanding and knowing the greatness of the infiniteness of Hashem, and to meditate or cause yourself to meditate in His greatness, and the byproduct of this is going to be a burning, fiery love like a burning coal, as he spoke about in the early 40s of Sefer Shel Beinoni.
Mm.
Okay? The first way to relate to Hashem, which is a bechitzanius, this is bechitzanius, is sit and think about how great Hashem is. And in order to do that, of course, you have to learn how great Hashem is.
Right.
With an indication, okay, back in chapter 3, that Hashem fills all worlds and encompasses worlds, and before Hashem, all worlds are like nothing. And the whole concept of infinity, infinitesimal, the relationship thereof, and to realize that Hashem is doing this all for us, and I have a personal relationship with His infinity, and if you're tefasta miksasa, tefasta kula, if you're able to grasp a little bit of Hashem, you can grasp the entirety of Hashem, because Hashem is infinite. If you grab a little bit of infinity, then you grab the whole of infinity.
Right.
And so this is coming from, this is expressed as a very, this is a chitzanius still, but it's still a very deep felt, passionate feeling towards Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
A burning love for Hashem means like a love affair.
Yeah.
Okay, this is chitzanius.
Right.
This is the external part.
This is the external part, right.
Okay, let me know when you get there.
I probably won't have to.
Opnimius alev. What's the inner part of the heart? This is the inner essence of the heart. From the depth of the heart, it's called, which is another Zohar term, which is much far beyond knowledge and meditating, that a person's able to meditate in their heart in the greatness of Hashem. Even if it's, which is meditating in the greatness, meditating in your heart. Is an expression. Let's go back. We're talking. Let's go back up a second. What's meditating in your heart? You meditate in your brain. But since it is, it's leis machshava tefisa be. You can't sit and think about how great Hashem is. You can sit and think until it flips into your heart.
Right.
Now what happens when the heart takes over, the heartfelt meditation that's going on now, is not an intellectual experience. It's a feeling.
Emotional. Right.
That a person, it's even beyond emotional. It's it's an intellectual, it's hard to understand because it's not something which can be described intellectually.
It's an imbuing.
Okay. It's that when you have a grasp on infiniteness, that's not an emotional thing. This is like, I feel Hashem is infinite. You can't think Hashem is infinite, but you can get this feeling that if you're standing before Hashem in Shemayna Esrei, that because of Hashem, what Hashem is and what you are, how insignificant you are before this great entity we call Hashem. So that, and that's all still chitzonius. That's still the external expression. The internal expression goes beyond anything that you can be cognizant of. In other words, the level that the Alter Rebbe is talking about over here in this letter is to relate to Hashem beyond intellect. And in this instance, even, intellect gets in the way. Because what intellect wants to do, especially men intellect, women intellect not so much. Women's intellect is more fluid. Men put things in little boxes in their
categorize
brains.
Categorize it, right.
Everything's got a place where it's got to go.
Define it.
Okay? And we have all these boxes. Something. Do you know what the biggest box in a man's brain has in it? There's two boxes. One of them is big, and the other one's bigger.
And most of ego.
Nah, not ego.
What? All right.
The biggest box has nothing in it.
Okay.
So we see, for example, I'll prove.
That was my first choice, but I'll prove it.
Okay? You're sitting there doing something, and your wife says to you, what are you thinking about? And you say, nothing.
What's the other box?
Sex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are two big boxes.
Those are our two big boxes.
Yes, unfortunately, that's true.
Yes, our emotional box, that's not even there. That's just like this little thing that's relegated somewhere, you know.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Yeah.
You know, so to think about Hashem and put Hashem into a little box on a hilltop, that's not happening.
Oops.
Okay? So for that, we have to go beyond, well beyond intellect.
Yeah.
We're talking about Nekudas Halev. Means we're only dealing in, if I'm going to have to describe it intellectually, we're dealing in potentials. We're dealing in possibilities. What possibly could Hashem be? How could I possibly relate to Hashem? Since possibilities are infinite, and my relationship to how I could relate to Hashem, therefore, could also be infinite. So therefore now I can relate to the infiniteness of Hashem. But how am I doing it? That's totally not even intellectual. It's very, like I say, it's very hard to describe. It's something you just have to be there at. Okay? And that's relating to Hashem on an essential basis. The essence of Hashem doesn't relate to anything. It's going to sound really weird. And our essence of what we essentially are doesn't relate to anything.
Okay? Anything to Hashem or anything.
Doesn't relate to anything, wait. Okay? So that means we know that your thoughts, your speech, and action is an expression of your essence. But it's an expression of your essence. It's not your essence. It's not expressing your essence. It's an expression of your essence.
Right.
So since your essence doesn't relate to anything, and Hashem's essence doesn't relate to anything, so therefore my essence can relate to Hashem, and Hashem can relate to me. Because they don't relate to anything anyway. So since it's not relating, it could not relate to this too. And it's totally and completely backwards.
Right.
It's the weakest tie I've ever thought of.
What do they call it in the four forces in nature? You know, the weak links?
The weak, the strong, gravity, and electromagnetic. The weak is what keeps electrons going around the
nucleus. Right, so this is a weak link.
The weakest of all. Yeah. Actually, gravity is the weakest.
You know, gravity is the weakest of all.
Yeah.
Okay. But, so what are you talking about over here? Let him do the talking.
Well, that's good.
So he says, we know what it's not. It's not something that you can sit down and think about. As it says, from the depths I call to you, Hashem, meaning from the depths of the heart, going beyond intellect, beyond emotion, going straight to the essence of what I am. Like we see, for example, the vernacular. Sometimes there are things which are very important, very pressing. That a person's very life is dependent upon it. And this thing is relevant to, or touches, the very essence of his, of who he is, inclusively. It causes him to do things that he can't do and to say things that he can't say or knows at all.
Mm.
Okay, you hear stories of the grandmother who picks the car off of the kid that the jack fell off of.
Right.
Okay, how? Impossible. Or there was a bucher who escaped a fire in 1414 Eastern Park, which is a dormitory across the street from 770, by escaping through a hole that was smaller than his head. How'd he do that?
Right.
Okay? If something's really nogeya to you, who you are, so the essence of your nefesh is going to take over, and it's going to be successful. Let's hope that you've never been in a situation where you have to utilize it in that way.
Yeah.
We do have an example, another example. You have in the beginning of Masechta Ksubos, you have a whole deal with a guy coming to claim that he the woman that he married is not the goods that he thought he was getting.
Mm.
And he either wants a refund, he wants some of his money back, he wants you know, justice out of this deal. And she comes up with all kinds of claims and counterclaims. And if she wants to claim her kasuba, and he's coming up with claims, and she comes up with better claims. So the question is asked, the Gemara discusses these claims that are absolutely brilliant. How is this woman who never learned Gemara going to come up with such an erudite claim against this other dude? Answer:
she wants to be married.
If it's relevant,
it's nogeya.
If it's nogeya, then you'll be able to tap in and come up with such a thing.
You're coming from out of your essence.
Right. Yes, that's an expression of essence.
Exactly.
That you'll ask a question that Rabbi Akiva Eger won't be able to answer.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, because this is, if it means that much to you,
right,
then
it's part of who you are.
That's what's going to be expressed now. So we want that to be the relationship that we have with Hashem as well.
Right.
That it means that much to us that we would squeeze through a hole in the wall that's smaller than our head for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And have no problems doing it. It's not like you have to force an issue. No problem.
Right.
Okay, so v'zelu v'zeh kacha hu mamish ba'aveda shebelev. And everything being equal, this is the way it is also with the service of the heart. In other words, if you can squeeze through the hole, you can serve Hashem also.
Mm.
You know, if it's relevant to you, you'll find a way.
Right.
That's always the deal. The same thing Alter Rebbe asked the question, how is it this woman is accused of adultery? She's guilty of being a sota. She'd have to take drink this water and go through this whole process. And if you asked her, would she give up, you know, we can get you out of this if you give up your religion. There's no way. There's no way she's going to stop being Jewish. No. But wait a minute. One of the major tenets in Judaism is not to commit adultery. That she could do. No. People have Yetzirah. But when it touches the very essence of who they are, I'm a Jew.
Yeah.
Okay? So then that doesn't move. That stays constant. That's always there. You have a question? Something you understand?
That person couldn't give up their Judaism. Couldn't think of a... I didn't know there was such a case.
No. It's not that... If you tell the person, you know, like Haman. Haman said, if you give up your Judaism, we're not going to kill you.
Wasn't Jewish for him.
Nope. Haman said to the Jewish people,
Oh, right.
If you give up your Judaism, you will not be included in the decree of national kill a Jew day.
Right.
And anybody that kills you will be guilty of murder. Right. Because you're not Jewish anymore.
So
that type of thing. Okay, good. Chalul Hashem. So this person's thinking to themselves, rather than getting my head chopped off, I will say I'm not Jewish.
You're allowed.
So this person, so most likely, so how many people did that during the times of Haman?
Zero. Exactly.
Because they couldn't give up their Judaism. It wasn't that they weren't allowed. It wasn't a halacha. They didn't have to go ask Mordechai, what's a halacha? Are we allowed to give up our Judaism? No. It's like, what are you talking about, give up my Judaism? Of course not. Ugarat. It doesn't even have to be talked about.
Yeah.
It's nothing, nothing what to say.
We're not going there. Right.
Okay, all because right. That affects who we are, essentially.
Right.
The higher lefisha v'chinas nekudas p'nimiyas olev he l'mayla v'chinas hadas ha-mispashit ha-mislavish b'mida shenola v'chabar k'noidim. Because when we're talking nekudas olev, we're not talking emotional experience over here.
Right.
The emotional experience is when a person goes to shul and he's sitting and he's thinking about Hashem and he says Hashem Echad and he's thinking about how one Hashem is and he has this via hafta b'shnei yitzarecha and he gets his nefesh Bahamas, his animal soul, his yitzahara to go, yeah, I kind of get into this. This is really in the groove. This is fine. That's an emotional experience. That's not what he's talking about over here. Over here, he's talking about going to the very essence of who we are. And that's what he wants to, and why he's giving warning is because we use the word heart. And heart, we're always thinking emotion. This is beyond heart. Higher than Das, which spreads and encloses itself in the meters, which is called from Chabad. But this is a ray of chachma, your love. The supernal level of wisdom, which is higher than understanding and knowledge. And in it is enclosed and hidden the light of Hashem. As it says that God with wisdom founded the earth. And this is the quintessential spark of Judaism that is every single Jew. In other words, so everything you do, you have your thoughts, speech, and action, you have your intellect and your emotion. And you have that's we're talking about the godly soul. Where does it have the ability to do that? So it's got a little battery pack. Okay, the battery pack supplies the charge, supplies the energy by which a person can connect their intellect, their emotion, their thought, speech, and action to Hashem. It's that part that you can't get rid of.
Right.
That's what we were talking about. That's a person's Judaism. That's how a person relates. This is beyond even intellect. So it relates to Hashem in an above intellectual way. He says it wants to come from Chachma. In this instance, he says it comes from Chachma. In other places, it's talked about it comes from even higher than Chachma.
Yeah, higher.
Because what's Chachma? Chachma isn't an intellect. Mm-hmm. Chachma is going to develop into
intellect. Right.
Right now, all Chachma is in a state of bittul.
Yeah, point.
It's a state of nothingness. Right. That's what Chachma is. Because you think about it, looking at the Seder Histalshus, the way that God created the world. So there's this massive energy. And this massive energy is too great to be tapped into, to be utilized for anything that we would consider useful. So what happens to it? It basically has to vacate. As it says, Chachma me'ayin t'matzei. Chachma, where do you find, the verse is from Mishlei, where do you find wisdom? But if you translate it literally, Chachma me'ayin means from nothing. Doesn't mean where.
Right.
Me'ayin means where. Me'ayin means from nothing.
Yeah.
Chachma is found from nothing.
Right.
So it's a beginning point of an existence, but it still maintains that quality of nothing. It is dimensionless, as is a point. According to the laws of, Mr. Euclid, a point.
It's a concept.
A point has no dimension.
Right.
It's an idea.
Okay? And that is what is the essence of our soul. Can you draw a picture of the essence of our soul? No. Can I even describe the essence of our soul? No. Because it is beyond any of that. So he says it's from Chachma. And this is that spark of godliness, which we call the quintessential point of godliness. In Hebrew it's called Nekudat HaYahudit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, or the Pintel Yid.
Pintel Yid, yes.
Not everybody gets there. In fact, I got news for you. Hardly anybody gets there. Okay, not everybody merits to this level to serve Hashem from the depth of the heart in an inner way. Why? Because where's your Nakuda Salev? We have it so beschmutzed in dinner, in jobs,
in
taking care of the kids, in school tuition, in utility bills, in car repairs, and dentist bills.
Yeah, those are the finer things.
Yes, you know, and dealing with our in-laws and our parents and our siblings.
Yeah.
Okay, all this just schmutzes over it. Just totally, completely takes it and puts it right in the mud. That's what happens to this nice little, unique, pristine spark. Okay?
But it's still there.
And it's not covered with, it's not, with the stuff that's covering it over,
doesn't.
I got news for you, it's not mud.
Yeah. You got that right.
Okay, it's just piled higher and deeper.
Exactly.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, and he calls that's what Gullus is. What's Gullus? Gullus means is no revelation. Geula means revealed. Geula, redemption. Means revelation. It means no limitations. Gullus, without the aleph in it, the difference between the word gull is interesting. The difference between exile and redemption is an aleph. They really pointed this out. The aleph of Hashem. So gullus is exactly the opposite.
Right.
We find ourselves in gullus. How do we know we're in gullus? How do we know? You know the old Yiddish expression that to the worm that's living in the chrein, it's a sweet life. How do we know this is not Mashiach right now? Because we don't see it.
Right.
If it was Mashiach right now, we would see beyond the three dimensions.
Sure, of course, right.
We would see how the three dimensions contains an infinite dimension.
Right.
And we're not seeing that now.
No.
We're missing that totally. So if anybody wants to tell you right now is Geula,
yeah.
Tell them how many dimensions are there right here. Ask them how many dimensions you see right now. And if they get anything past breath, let me know. I'm joining them.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Or maybe we'll both smoke the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Because the this is the that because we're in Gullus. Mm. It's not allowing us to fully stretch our own entity. Mm. Never mind Hashem. Hashem is in Gullus that we learned already in chapter 6. How did Hashem get in Gullus? It's because we're tied to Hashem like a rope. And we schlepped him down with us.
He joined us.
Okay, but what does it mean that we're in Gullus? Is that we're up past our eyes in the muck.
Swimming in it.
Yeah. Floundering in it. Drowning in the muck. Mm-hmm. And who made the muck? We did. Okay. And what is it doing? Who is it affecting worse? Me. Exactly. Ourselves. Each individual. Okay. So that's what this idea of Gullus is. And the divine presence is in Gullus. Our Nekudas HaYehudis is in Gullus. Our Pintel Yid is in Gullus. It can't express itself. Hmm. The godly soul, which is a portion of Hashem Mamash, means it's infinite. We have within us a portion of infinity. So if my godly soul is so infinite, how come I don't know the whole Torah about that? Hmm. Okay, how come I'm not a tzaddik? It's because it's obscured. Hmm. V'siba ha-gullus humayim rizal gullal levav ha-shmini amayim. The reason for the gullus is when the Jews, like it says, our sages say, when the Jews went into exile in Babylon, the Shekhinah went with them. And ripnei shehil bish b'chinas panimius nekudas levav ha-bezel u'mazeh. That means to say is that when we go into exile, we are schlepping this pintle yid into the muck. Hanikra b'shem Bavel, which we're calling now as a polite term. A euphemism would be Babylon.
Babylon, it's in the Gemara all the time.
V'hu b'v'chinas arla hamikasa al abris. That is like the foreskin covering over the covenant, the place of the covenant. Mm. Okay? What's that all about? Okay? The first place where Hashem was able to create, connect to humankind was with Avraham by the bris. Okay, what's the deal? Is the world looks at that part of the body as being something impure, a source for impurity,
yes,
and has nothing good about it except to convey impurity, immodesty, immorality. Mm. Okay, that's true if you're talking about an oral. Arl means sealed. It's a skin which is covered over, it's sealed over the end of that organ. And therefore it's impossible for it to express itself properly because it's all covered over. Comes along Avraham, and when Avraham was, however old he was, 75 years old, Hashem adds an extra hey to his name. So that Avram, his numerical value 243, with a hey it becomes 248, to indicate that Avraham had complete control over all of his body parts. And so by removing the aural, removing the cover, we're now told that even that body part is a Dabar Shuvah Kedusha. We see specifically by Avraham, for example, place your hand under my thigh and swear to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That wouldn't exactly go over too well today.
No.
That'd be really weird, and you might get locked up.
Hmm.
Okay? So, because, why? Because we don't need that. That was just for the beginning. That was for back then.
Hmm.
Okay? Avraham doing what Avraham did now made that part of the body also a Dabar Shavikadushos. He said, swear to me, that's one thing. But you don't. We don't do that anymore. If you have to swear in a code of law, no one's asking you to drop your drawers and hold on to your thing over there. Mm. Okay? Oh.
Wow.
But it can be used for very holy things, like procreating, for example. Like we talked about way back when in Chapter 2 in Tanya, the four things a person's supposed to be thinking about when he's having relations with his wife.
Mm.
Okay, we got up to Orlis Levavachem is like about 10 lines down on page 404. And it's like the first paragraph on English on 403, and that's it. To be continued.
To be continued.